wish a very blessed Feast of the Ascension to all of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There is a tradition that says our blessed Lord, at the moment he was ascended into heaven from Mount Olivet, he was then standing upon a rock, a stone in the ground. And after he went up into heaven, he left us a very beautiful relic. That relic, if you look there now, is still on that very same stone. They are his footprints. Now, most, if not all, of the important places of our Lord's life, all of the places such as the place where he was born and such other places, they now have shrines built on that location. And so certain persons, I believe it was St. Helena, decided to build a shrine over this place on Mount Olivet, in honor of the ascension of our Lord. And the builders, as they were trying to lay all the stones for this great edifice, tried to lay a stone over that rock which had our Lord's footprints, out of no contempt for that mystery, but in order just to make a complete building. But they tried and tried several times, but they could not lay a single stone upon that rock. And to this day, if you see that rock, his footprints are still there. Our Lord has left us that very beautiful relic. Now, I tell you this story because footprints are, in certain cases, very important things. They are important, for instance, to a detective who is hunting for the criminal. He will follow the footprints or the tracks of the criminal until hopefully he arrives at the place where that criminal is, and then he can capture him and bring him to jail. The footprints are also important for hunters. They hunt, they follow the tracks of the deer or the rabbit in hopes that he will at last arrive at the point, the place where that animal is living and be able to take him home. And for the Christian, the footprints of Christ are extremely important because if we follow these footprints, then they will lead to where Christ is dwelling eternally, that is, to the kingdom of heaven. Now, do you remember, I'm sure you do, being just a child, and after a heavy snowfall, you walk behind your mother or father, and you try your best to put your little feet into those giant footprints of your parents. You try to do that so that you don't make your own marks in the snow. It was a very fun thing at the time, but we tried to do that. We tried to follow our parents perfectly. And this is exactly what the Christian must do, must put his feet into the footprints of our Lord most perfectly, never making a single mark of his own in the ground. And it is said that Saint Francis of Assisi did this most perfectly. They say that he is the saint most like Christ. He followed his footprints perfectly. And now, God has given us a great help in reminding us of these footprints that he left us in this life. We are reminded in this way by the liturgy of the church. We are reminded year after year by the different feasts of our Lord, of our Lord, what he did in life. And we are taught many lessons from those mysteries in his life. For instance, we walked with our Lord through the liturgy to Christmas Day. We were there at Bethlehem when we read in the epistle that beautiful story of Christmas night. We there learned the virtues of humility at seeing God humble himself so much as to appear as a little child. Then we followed him to the place of circumcision. There we had the great mystery of the love of God for us, at shedding his first drops of blood for the sake of our souls. We followed him to the flight into Egypt when he tried to run from that awful King Herod. we followed him to his presentation in the temple, and there we learned the virtue of self-sacrifice, how he offered himself to God, and so we should do it as well. We followed him through his public life. We saw him heal so many people. We followed him during the season of Lent. We saw him condemn the Pharisees for their hypocrisy and their pride, which ultimately led to their putting our Lord to death. And then we followed him through his passion and his resurrection, which taught us love of suffering and the virtues of faith and hope. So in a word, by means of the liturgy, we follow the footprints of our blessed Lord, and we learn all of these lessons. And so today, we come to the very last footprints of our Lord on this earthly life, his ascension into heaven. We see them to this day there on that rock. And today, our Lord wishes to teach us a very important lesson by these footprints. They are the desire for heaven, the desire for heavenly things. So it is for that today that we should be praying. We should talk to our Lord ascending into heaven, ask him to give us a more efficacious desire for heaven, not just a desire to get there, but then we do nothing about it. An efficacious desire is something that we desire, and then we work to attain that desire. We should be praying for that today. And so today I would like to quote, give you several quotations, both from sacred scripture and the saints, on heaven, what they say about heaven, the beauties, the happiness of heaven, and the things that the saints would do for the sake of heaven. And you should today take home at least one of these quotations, remember it, and contemplate it often, and pray to our Lord to help you desire heaven more and more each day. In the book of the Apocalypse, it says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty is the temple thereof, and the Lamb. And the city, heaven, had no need of the sun, nor of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God hath enlightened it, and the Lamb is the lamp thereof. And the gates thereof shall not be shut by day, for there shall be no night there. There shall not enter into it anything defiled, or that worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the book of life of the Lamb." In the book of Isaiah, it says, "He," referring to God, "shall cast death down headlong forever. And the Lord God shall wipe away tears from every face, and the reproach of his people he shall take away from off the whole earth, for the Lord hath spoken it." Again in Isaiah, it says, "Then shall the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall be free. For waters are broken out in the desert, and streams in the wilderness. And a path and a way shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not pass over it. And this shall be unto you a straight way, so that fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor shall any mischievous beast go up by it, nor be found there. But they shall walk there that shall be delivered. And the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and shall come into Sion with praise, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away." And finally, in sacred scripture, St. Paul speaks of the beatific vision, and he says, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. We see now through a glass in a dark manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known." And then we see in the lives of the saints, their great desire, their great love for the thought of the kingdom of heaven. Once, after an ecstasy in which she saw a single ray of heavenly glory, just one single ray, St. Catherine of Siena, whose feast we had just yesterday, was asked by her confessor to describe what she had seen when she saw that heavenly ray. And St. Catherine could only reply, I should be guilty of sin if I pretended to describe it, for human words cannot express the value and magnificence of the heavenly treasures. This is a very beautiful quotation. And before his execution, St. Thomas More, who was the Chancellor in England under King Henry VIII, who had tried to commit the sin of adultery, tried to get St. Thomas More to approve of his remarrying after being divorced. When he was sentenced to death, his wife Louisa begged him to give in to the wish of Henry VIII. And our saint replied, "Tell me, Louisa, how many years could I, who am an old man, expect to live?" She replied, "You might live for as many as 20 years." And our saint then said, "O foolish woman, and do you want me for 20 years of this miserable life on earth to forfeit an eternity of happiness and condemn myself to an eternity of torments?" Another very beautiful quotation by the saints. You see in that how great they desire heaven, but that they would suffer anything rather than lose heaven. There is one quotation I'd like to take from a book called The Thoughts of St. Teresa. It's a very beautiful book as well. She says, "Life is passing, eternity draws nigh. Soon shall we live the very life of God. After having drunk deep at the fount of bitterness, our thirst will be quenched at the very source of all sweetness. Yes, the figure of this world passeth away. Soon shall we see new heavens. A more radiant sun will brighten with its splendors ethereal seas and infinite horizons. We shall no longer be prisoners in a land of exile. All will be at an end, and with our heavenly spouse we shall sail over boundless waters. Now our harps are hung upon the willows that border the rivers of Babylon. But in the day of our deliverance, what harmonies will then be heard? With what joy shall we not make every chord of our instruments to vibrate? Today we weep remembering Zion. How shall we sing the songs of the Lord in a strange land?" Then we see in St. Bernadette's life, she is the saint, you all know her, from the story of Our Lady of Lourdes. In her last illness, her only thought, despite all of the pains which she endured from this illness, her only thought was of heaven. How she longed for it. "Heaven, heaven," she would repeat over and over, that beautiful word, heaven. They say that there are some saints who did not go straight to heaven because they had not longed for it enough. "It will not be so in my case," she said. In her personal notebook, she wrote, "I will do everything for heaven. There I shall find my mother, Mary, in all the splendor of her glory." Blessed Henry Suso said concerning the love of the blessed in heaven for one another. He said, "The love of the elect in paradise is so great that souls removed at an infinite distance from one another, or those who do not even know each other, did not know each other on earth, they love with a greater affection than that which exists between a parent and a child." That is how great the love of the blessed in heaven is for one another. Then the great doctor of the church, St. Augustine, says, "What happiness to meet again our relations and friends after so long and painful a separation." He says later on, "If God showed his face to the souls in hell, hell would be instantly turned into a paradise of delights." And again, he said that if a soul were given the choice between seeing God and suffering the torments of hell for eternity, or of being free from these torments and deprived of seeing God, he says that that soul would prefer to see the Lord and suffer these torments for eternity. So great, so beautiful is the vision of God. And I will conclude with this quotation. No matter what the saints have said about heaven, no matter what we have heard or read about the beauty of paradise, no matter how true they might be, the most true, if you can say that there are degrees admitted to truth, is that of St. Paul. that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, what great things God hath prepared for them that love him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.